and you've wondered why. Tears come into your eyes, and burdens seem to be much more than you can stand. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with men and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. When grief has
truly, not just this morning, but every day we need the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh upon us. Amen. That we need His Spirit, His hand to help us and guide us, strengthen us, encourage us. And I am thankful this morning that God can understand even just our tears. Amen. Boy, when our spirit is broken and we don't even know how to pray. Amen. God knows. God knows. The book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter number 1, we're going to read verse number 1 and then drop down to verse number 8. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Then in verse number 8, it says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God, and I ask you to help me this morning that I might be an able minister of the word of God. I pray that you would just touch me and help me to preach, Father, those words and say those things that is needful today. And Father, open up our hearts and our ears to hear and receive that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, enslavement to the gospel. Enslavement to the gospel. By definition, the word enslavement is to be in the subjection to the will of another. One who has no will of his own, but whose person and services are wholly under the control of another. Amen. To be enslaved. Now, Paul here in this particular place, he had not seen the Roman church. He had not been to the Roman church, but he was writing unto them. And he was compelled to write unto them because he was enslaved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, who was a servant of Jesus Christ, amen, had no problem stating the fact that he was enslaved to the gospel, that he was a bond servant of Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, that he was Jesus' servant. And in verse 16, we didn't read verse 16, but it describes the gospel in verse number 16 as being the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. And that's what Paul had experienced, that gospel. He had experienced the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done for himself, who was, as Paul stated himself, he was the chief among sinners. But amen, what happened to him? God saved him. We might say that on that road to Damascus, God turned him around. Amen. He changed his life. Amen. I pray God change our lives, that God has made a difference in our lives. But I want to look here at Paul because he was the servant, the bond servant, the one that was enslaved by the gospel. And here in these verses, we want to look at some things. And the first point I want us to see is the gospel stirred Paul to thank God for the church. In verse number 8, it says, "But I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." He said, "I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church." It wasn't that God just saved him. Amen. God had been working. He hadn't even been to see the folks at Rome. He knew a few of them and had heard of a few of them, but he was thankful, he said, for them all. He was thankful. The church at Rome lived in a time and in a world, and as I read these things, you can see if it reminds you of any place that you've ever lived. Amen. But the church at Rome, they lived in a world that was full of immorality. It was full of drunkenness. It was full of gluttony and materialism. a world full of greed and selfishness and indulgence and pride and sin and wickedness. Amen. That sounds like where we live. Amen. Sounds like the world. It's not that the world has just got this way, but amen, it was something that the Romans dealt with, and yet their faith was spoken of, Paul said, throughout the whole world. Amen. They lived in this time, but their faith was strong. The Roman church stands as a testimony for us and for every church, no matter how immoral, no matter how base or polluted or corrupt a society may be or become. Amen. It is our purpose, our duty as Christians to stand firm for Christ. Amen. To be unmovable. And Paul thanked God for them all. Now the world today may not like the church. They may not have good things to say about the church. They may even despise the church. But amen, what the world does not know is that the church is a blessing to the world. And the Bible does speak one day God's going to take it out. He's going to remove it. And amen, when He does, amen, there's going to be havoc in this old world. But the church, and Paul knew that for Rome, for that city and that place with all of its immorality, the church in the midst of that place was good for Rome. It was a blessing. And so the church at Rome had a good testimony, and it was spoken of in all of the world. The question is what about our testimony? What about our testimony as individuals? What about our testimony as a church? We read in the book of Acts in chapter 16 in verse 1, beginning in verse number 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus," or Timothy, "the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Timothy, like the church at Rome, had a good report, a good testimony. Amen. When it was inquired about this Timotheus or Timothy, it said, amen, he was well reported of. And I pray, God help us, that our faith be such that when men give a report about us, that we be well reported of. And Paul was stirred in his heart. He was thankful for the church. And God help us, amen, we should be thankful for the church, for one another, because we need, amen, the support and the help of each and every member of the body of Christ. We need that. And so the gospel stirred Paul to thank God for the church. But also the second thing is the gospel subjected Paul's spirit, his whole heart. He didn't just get in a little bit. Amen. He got in. Amen. All of the way. You know, I heard a story told one time about a lady that was praying for her husband that he'd get into church. And amen, change his ways, because boy, he was pretty mean and wicked in some of the things that he did. He was hard to live with. And amen, one night at a revival meeting, what happened to him, same thing that happened to Paul, is amen, he got in. Amen, he didn't just get in a little bit. He didn't just stick one foot in and he was just content to go to church on Sunday and a few special occasions if he had time. But amen, it changed his entire life. And amen, his wife was heard making a comment similar, that she wanted him to get in, but she didn't know if she wanted him all in. Because see, maybe he got further in than she was. God help us. We just want to stay close enough where we stay kind of warm and lively, just a little bit. Don't want to go overboard, but just enough to keep us kind of, you know, green. We don't want to die. But amen, he got in. And Paul, whenever God saved him, amen, he got all of Paul. See, he said he was a bondservant. He was enslaved to the gospel. What happened to Paul's will? Amen, it was God's will. That was his, what was God's desire? That was his desire. He had a desire to be what God would have him to be, and he relinquished his rights to God. He said in verse number 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. In the book of Philippians, Paul put it to him this way in Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus, and he said, amen, just in short, he said, something got a hold of me. God changed me. Right there as he fell off and he looked up and he was saved, his life was changed, God got me. And he got up from that day, from that experience, and the rest of his life, the rest of Paul's days was spent trying to apprehend that thing that had apprehended him. That was God. He said, I hadn't attained, I'm not perfect yet, but he said, I'm trying to catch him. He caught me, and he said, I've been running just as hard as I could run, trying to catch him. It reminds me, what's that game that, amen, the young'uns play, get in the circle? Is it duck, duck, goose? Where they get in the circle and they walk around the circle, you know, and they duck, 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 and they hit goose, and boy, they take off running, and the one that gets called goose got to jump up and see if they can catch them before they can get back around to set back down in the spot that they vacated. And that's kind of what Paul said I'm doing. He said, I was there one day, and he said, God just touched me. And he said, boy, I vacated. He said, I left. And he said, I hadn't caught him yet, but he said, I'm still running. Amen. One of these days, he told him, he said, I'm going to receive a crown. He said, I'm going to get there. I'm going to see it. Amen. The Bible tells us one of these days, we're going to see it. We're going to see him. We're going to see him face to face. And the Bible says, and we're going to be like him. But until then, we just going to keep running. There's... Paul said, we're going to keep going and trying to catch that one that, amen, has caught us. Paul was changed on that road to Damascus. Amen, he spent the rest of his life in service for God who saved him. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's what Paul did. That's what we should be doing. That's what God desires for us, that we glorify God in our body and in our spirit, with everything that we have, that we glorify Him. But also the third thing here, in these verses, the gospel stirred Paul to prayer. It stirred him to prayer. There in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The gospel of Jesus Christ should stir us to pray. To pray without ceasing. All that God would stir us again. Amen. That we could pray to ring the bells of heaven. That we might see, amen, God's power poured out upon us. That His Spirit might be poured out on us afresh and anew. By what? By prayer. Paul said that he prayed for them. We're instructed in scriptures, amen, throughout the Bible on prayer. And listen, if prayer did not matter, why did God give us so much instruction as to pray, to ring those prayer bells and to call upon a God, the Bible said, who hears and answers prayer? He was compelled to pray. Listen, Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 3. It says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee and will look up. Can I tell you, amen, the best person to talk to first thing in the morning is God. Amen. Let him know that, amen, God, here I am again. Amen. And I'm fixing to start a brand new day. Amen. And I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some grace. Amen. I'm going to need you to help me to mortify the old deeds of this flesh and to walk hand in hand with you. But amen, he prayed. The gospel stirred Paul to prayer. And I pray that we might be stirred again, amen, to pray as we ought to pray. But also, amen, the fourth thing here that we find in these verses, in verse 10 through 13, the gospel stirred Paul for the well-being of his fellow Christians. Amen. For the well-being of his fellow Christians. He said, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long, he said, to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. He said, I desire to come. He desired to be among them to exercise the office of his ministry that God had given unto him, to establish them and to confirm them in the faith. What did he say? He knew it was the church that they had believed, that they had come to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but he wanted them to grow up. He didn't want them to just believe and be stunted in their growth and stop. He wanted them to be confirmed in all points. He wanted to come and tell them what's the gospel. He wanted to come and tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. He wanted to come that their faith was pure faith, that it might begin to grow, that it might bring forth much fruit. God help us. Amen. That was his desire for them. He wanted to impart, it said, in them some spiritual gift. And amen, he's not talking about the supernatural spiritual gifts here. He's talking about the gifts of growing up in the faith. Amen. To better understand the Word of God. He wanted them to be established in the Word of God. His desire was for their well-being. Listen, one of the saddest things in life is when you have a desire for somebody else, for their well-being. For their well-being. And you see and you know that the road and the track that they're on, that's not going to happen. They're not headed toward a better place. They're not headed toward things that makes for better decision-making and prosperous ahead. And you have a desire to help them, but you can't. Listen, this is why Paul wanted to come. He had a desire. He knew they were Christians, but you know what he wanted them to be? He wanted them to experience, amen, that abundant Christian life. He wanted them to know the fullness of the gospel. He wanted them to grow, amen, and to blossom and to bloom, amen, for Christ, that the whole world might not just talk about them now, but amen, in 20 years, they'd still be talking about what God done and how God works and the mighty acts that God had done. Paul had said concerning his trip to Rome in chapter 15 of Romans, verse 29, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. To make known unto them the full blessings of the gospel and to impart those spiritual gifts with the design that Paul had in his mind. And listen, it should always be our desire to help people. And especially those of the household of faith. And amen, we can help. I pray that we might do as the Bible said, that we might provoke one another unto love and to good works. Amen. This is why Paul wanted to come. The gospel had stirred Paul for the well-being of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That's what he desired. And then the last thing here, verses 14 and 15, the gospel stirred Paul to reach all men. He said, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul was stirred to reach all that he could. I pray, Heavenly Father, help us to reach all that we can. Paul said he was chief among sinners, but God saved him. And he had a desire to tell those folks about Jesus. He had a desire to tell them about the life-changing experience of Jesus Christ and what Jesus could do for you. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They're there. The field is ready for harvest. You see, Paul could not get loose from the grip that grace had gotten upon him and the indebtedness that he had for the gospel's sake, nor did he want to be loose from that feeling. Boy, he had a desire to share that with others. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that's the message that Paul wanted to tell folks. Because listen, Paul on different occasions when he got opportunity. In the book of Acts, in one occasion when the whole city was crying out, everybody was saying, away with him. Let's just kill him, get rid of old Paul. And amen, they was leading him away up the stairwell. He asked them for a license that he might speak to the people for just a minute. And boy, they was hating on Paul. But he stopped. And when they had stilled the crowd, you know what he had to tell them? He said, I was on the road to Damascus. He said, I was in the same place you are today. I was lost. And he said, Jesus found me. He said, I met a man. That's what he wanted to tell. He said, I want to tell you. Amen. With all of the hate that they had spewing out toward him, he took an opportunity when he could get just a minute, and he said, I just want to tell you, amen, that Jesus saved us, so chief of sinners. Amen. And amen, he can save you. That was his desire. He knew where he came from. He knew what God had done for him. And he wanted to do that for others. We read in verse 15 where he said, I am ready. And this word ready here, it speaks of an urgency, a willingness, and an urgency to preach the gospel. With everything that was in Paul, he wanted to preach the gospel to them that were in need. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Paul said, I'm ready. Has the gospel of Jesus Christ so moved us, so moved me, and so moved you that we can say with Paul, I am enslaved to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am possessed and obsessed with a readiness to share, to preach, to teach, to testify of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Because that was Paul. He was bound. Because what Jesus had done for him, he could do nothing less. I pray as you stand with us this morning, if you have a prayer need, while we sing, if you have a need, come.